Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Zechariah, John's father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people to set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As the joke goes, Christmas Eve is the day that guys and dads finally realize that they have to go Christmas shopping. That's the type of preparation that's done. But we see God the Father have a different attitude in the readings today, which is very important for us to grasp. He wasn't doing things at the last second. He was doing things with incredible planning and foresight. If you think that our Advent is long, if you think that the Jews' Advent was long, so much greater was the advent of God in order to accomplish what we'll be celebrating tomorrow. The first reading today, we see David speak to the prophet Nathan about doing something great for God. He said, it isn't right that I'm living in a house of cedar where God's dwelling in a tent. God deserves our best. So he intended to build a beautiful temple to God, something that would be fulfilled by his son Solomon, and then by his great 28th grandson Jesus in building the temple of his own body. Nathan at first said, holy desire, go for it. But then the Lord came to Nathan and said, no, go to David and say, should you build me a house to dwell in? Here's what I'm going to do for you. I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord reveals to you that he will establish a house for you, and that when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I'll raise up after you an heir sprung from your loins, and I'll make his kingdom firm. I'll be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. They would have never thought that those words would be made literal. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever, and your throne shall stand firm forever. What an unbelievable thing God did for David, even though David was a sinner, because David responded to God's call, although not perfectly, was willing to give his entire life in God's service. So God was going to do something extraordinary for him, make him a house that would know no end. We heard earlier this Advent that God had even greater plans for you and for me. Jesus said about John the Baptist, he's the greatest ever born of a woman's womb, but the least of the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That we, born of water and the Holy Spirit in the womb of the church, the baptismal font, aren't just going to be sons of the great king of Israel, David. We're meant to be sons and daughters of the King of Kings, the Lord of all, the Rex Gentium, so I've been pondering. Everything we want to do for the Lord comes back and says, thank you, it's a very good intention, but here's what I'm going to do for you. You know, this is where the saying, God can never be outdone in generosity, basically comes from. We want to do something munificent for God, and He blows us out of the water with His loving generosity. He'll send His Son so that as we'll pray tomorrow morning, that as He has taken on our humanity, so may He make us sharers of His divinity. He doesn't just want to make us heirs and heiresses. He wants to make us members, true members, sons and daughters of the royal family. What should our response be to this? We get a clue in the other readings. The responsorial psalm, forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. The favors of the Lord I'll sing forever. Through all generations my mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness. We remember what he did for David. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David my servant. Forever will I establish your posterity and establish your throne for all generations. But then it goes on. Shall say to me, you are my father, my God, my rock, my savior. Forever I will maintain my kindness toward him and my covenant with him stands firm. God did all of that for David and for us. He does it even more firmly, even more powerfully in the new and eternal covenant in his blood. And then the exclamation point on Advent is given to us in the gospel reading, which again shows how the faithfulness of the Lord shall be sung forever, because this is the hymn that is sung by the church in the morning as we pray the Liturgy of the Hours and will be sung by the church until Christ comes again. It's Zechariah's famous Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. Let's set the scene here for this explosion on Zechariah's part. You remember that Zechariah was struck mute because he doubted that the Lord could work his miracle through his and Elizabeth's senile gonads. And yet, that's what exactly happened. He was struck mute soon after John the Baptist was conceived and Elizabeth was pregnant. He wasn't able to rejoice like anybody else would have with his words. He was forced to say it on the inside, to let that singing of the Lord forever echo within him, to take his doubting heart, make it more contemplative. Then about 6 months into the pregnancy, Mary shows on up. He's probably able to witness John the Baptist leaping in his wife's womb. Hears Mary's Magnificat, starts to listen to her as she describes what the Lord in his goodness has done for her in her lowliness. And at the end of those 9 months, when the Lord unseals his tongue, he doesn't cry out saying, how lucky I am! Finally! Thank you, Lord! He doesn't even principally describe his son and his son's mission. A lot of the times we can think that. What he does is he praises God for the fulfillment of all the promises he has made. And when he mentions his son as a part of that plan. On one of the happiest days of this old man's life, he was singing God's praises, seeking God's glory, lauding God's kingdom, not his own familial happiness. What do we see? He's raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his son David. just as he had promised. Through his prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. And what would that salvation be? Again, he had really listened to the Holy Spirit. The Jews at this time thought that it was going to be a political liberation from all occupying forces. He goes far beyond it. He's promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. He swore this oath not to David 1,000 years ago. He swore this oath to Abraham 1,800 years ago to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. That God's plan was to do all of this, why? So that we could be holy and just in his sight. Not just at the very end of our life, not just on the best days, but all the days of our life. That's why God has unleashed this plan of salvation. Talks to John the Baptist about his mission. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you're going to go not before the Messiah to prepare his way. You're going to go before the Lord to prepare his way. He had heard his wife Elizabeth say, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" To give his people knowledge of salvation, that they might become one with salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. And then we get to today's O Antiphon that the church sings. O radiant dawn, Jesus, of course, splendor of eternal light, Son of justice, come and shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. That's what we beg of God. And Zechariah praises God by saying, in the tender compassion of our God. Think about that for a second. It's very easy for us to think about Mary's maternal compassion. Think about God's tender compassion. The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. So all the people, as we're going to hear tonight, that walk in darkness may see that great light and to guide our feet into the way of peace. God comes not just to give us a sound and light show by the angels. God comes precisely to guide our feet so that we might follow him along that way to eternal peace with God and peace with each other. Forever will I sing the goodness of the Lord. We're called to make Zechariah's Benedictus our own, praising the Lord for the fulfillment of his covenant and begging his help so that we may be holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life and follow the Prince of Peace into the way of peace. As we hear those angels saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. His favor does indeed rest on us. As we prepare for Christmas, by the daily Christmas that we have, receiving within ourselves the same Lord Jesus whom Mary held in her arms, that Joseph fell down on his knees before, that the shepherds and the Magi came in haste to see. As we prepare to receive him, let's ask the Lord to fill us with greater gratitude. We finished today the O Antiphons. In the original pattern of the O Antiphons, what the church says at night at Vespers, is a backwards acrostic, which is always beautiful. If you take the first letter of each of the O Antiphons and you go back, it says something in Latin. Emmanueli, Rex Gentium, R, O Oriens, today, Ero, Clavis David, C, Radix, R, Adonai, Lord, A, finally, Sapientia, Wisdom, S, Ero, Cross. I will be there tomorrow. As we salute Jesus under all of these titles, he tells us he's right here. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.